Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to this installment of Pittsburgh Steelers on CBS Radio, our podcast, The Steel Conversation. It's been a long time coming, but we're glad that we have you here on this awesome eve before the Super Bowl. Brian Diardo and I believe Brian Rosen. Brian, you on the line?
I'm here.
Awesome. There he go. There he is. There he is. So we're here. Happy Super Bowl to you, my man. And we're here to talk about a couple of things, the Super Bowl first, and then, but we got to get to the defensive player of the year voting. It was controversial to say the least, but maybe not. I expected Miles to win. When he didn't win, I wasn't surprised. I was, however, surprised that TJ responded the way that he did, and so quickly. It was like he had that text ready to fire off. It was something basically like nothing I'm not surprised with or nothing I'm not used to or something like that. There's been a lot of debate about it. You know, Micah Parsons, most notably the Cowboys linebacker, said recently that he thought Miles should have won and then went further and basically kind of discredited TJ by not including him among his top four pass rushers. Max Crosby also made his list, Nick Bosa. Miles and himself, but he didn't mention TJ, so I set it up for you, Brian. What do you got? I know you're, as a Browns fan, you obviously agree that Miles should have won, but what are your thoughts on everything?
Yeah, well, let me first start off and just say thank you to Steelers fans everywhere, because this has been so much fun. Your outrage, your frustration, sadness, whatever you want to call it, has just been extremely fun for Browns fans. Now, with that being said, I actually have a ton of respect for T.J. Watt, and as funny as it's going to sound, I still feel like when the game's been on the line throughout their careers, T.J. Watt's been more effective than Myles Garrett has. But here's the problem. Here's where it's not just not just about the basic stats. I understand, of course, the production, the statistics certainly favor T.J. Watt, so I completely get that. But the context is extremely important, that in the 3-4 scheme, it's much harder to double team. So T.J. Watt was double teamed, and I want to make sure I have my number right here. T.J. Watt was double teamed on exactly, let me make sure I have this right, 14% of the time he was double teamed. I'll ask you, Brian, you want to guess the percentage that Myles Garrett was double-teamed?
At least in the 30s.
Close, 29%. So more than double.
There we go.
So
yeah, all right. Yeah.
So the point is the attention, and there's actually Micah Parsons is 35%, the best in the league. So you can make a stellar case for him too. All I'm saying is that all things being equal, if the attention, the amount of attention that Myles Garrett received, if he received the amount of attention that T.J. Watt received, the statistics would not be close. Myles Garrett would break the all-time sacks record. I have no doubt in my mind about that. So that's sort of my two cents on it. I definitely think T.J. Watt's a great player. I think Micah Parsons, of course, knows more about than any of us. So I certainly respect his opinion a great deal, but I don't think he should discredit T.J. Watt at all. T.J. Watt's an outstanding football player. But at the end of the day, with, I think, proper context, the attention that Myles Garrett gets, you can't just look at this solely on the basis of statistics. If you do, of course, T.J. Watt would win.
Yeah, and I think Steeler fans can compare it to a certain age, Joe Green, who was kind of you look at his career stats. Now, Pro Football Reference put them together because individual stats weren't a stat until 82. But Joe Green's career sack numbers are they're in the 70s. I think it's 77.5, which is good. But you know, Cam Hayward already has more sacks in his career than and has played less years than Joe Green. But Joe Green set the table and took on, you know, multiple defenders on almost every play in his prime, which allowed that steel curtain defense, his teammates, to have that kind of success. So I absolutely agree, Brian. But, yeah, I think it's weird because, if you just purely look at the stats of both players, I mean, there's no denying that TJ is more productive. But to your point, he's only taking on one player very often, you know what, 86% of the time. And Myles Garrett is receiving much more attention, more than double the amount of times he's been double-teamed versus TJ. And, yeah, so it, I guess for me it's just weird because this is kind of a new thing we're looking at where we did in the past mostly look at stats, right? I mean, and no matter what it is. I mean, we would not give a running back MVP if he had 2,100 yards versus a guy that had 1,800. I guess that's how I would compare it, right? Like, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't give – I mean, maybe the MVP, you know, we've done that. Like, I'm pretty sure Lamar didn't lead the league in anything specific this season as far as passing. I know rushing, I know he led quarterbacks there. But it is interesting. And to be honest, Brian, like, I have no issues with Myles Garrett winning. I don't. Like, I think they both have an immense impact on the game. They're both incredible pass rushers in their own right. And maybe there is something to TJ, quote-unquote, only having one. I mean, because if you look at his career – you would think, given that he's led the league in sacks three times, you would think, okay, he probably would have more than one. But there are a lot of great defensive players in the league. And this is just a guess, Brian, but maybe after, you know, his brother won, what, three, I think, Aaron Donald won three, maybe there's been a concerted effort by the voters to spread it out. Do you think that had anything to do with it?
I think it's possible. But, again, I really do think it comes down to the attention. Also,
right.
Pass rush win rate is a statistic that that's an advantage for Myles Garrett, and run win rate is a significant
right.
advantage. Myles is number seven. TJ
right.
is not in the top 10. So there's other statistics there that I think factor in. But of course, yes, part of it is a reward for the entire career. That happens in sports all the time. I know that I get the frustration from Steelers fans, but that it happens. And I do want one other point in terms of TJ. TJ did tweet that before the announcement was made. I didn't see the tweet. I'm glad because
oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I was able to be surprised.
Okay.
But yeah,
okay.
I thought that was a weak move to do that. And I don't know. He's a competitor. Whatever, you know, he made that decision. But I think in terms of transitioning, if you want to add more, we can finish this topic. But I do want to talk about one thing real quick.
I do want to talk about
one thing real quick that Steelers fans and Browns fans can both appreciate. Let's just for a moment, I know this is
Cam Hayward.
Well, I think we need to talk about the coaching malpractice that went on for the Baltimore Ravens offense in the AFC
yeah.
Championship game. That was unbelievable. I can't for the life of me figure out how – it's not that the Chiefs – Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback in the league. He's the best player in the world. Their defense is fantastic. They were very effective with their kind of dink and dunk, almost like a West Coast offense. So it's not that the Chiefs didn't win the football game, but I do genuinely feel that much more so than that they won the football game, the Ravens lost the football game. Lamar continued his playoff struggles, but the larger point is you're a running team and you don't run. It makes no sense. I cannot remember a worse offensive game plan in a big game than the Ravens' game plan, and it bit them. And as a Browns fan, you know, and I'm sure Steelers fans, everybody, that was really nice. Now we get to enjoy the Super Bowl. We don't have to watch our rival in the Super Bowl with a great chance to win it. And I just wanted to quickly make that point, because it's unbelievable that the Baltimore Ravens, of all teams, that are typically one of the best, most well-coached teams in football, did that poor of a job.
No, I agree on that note. The offense was – yeah, I was confused by what they were trying to do. But I also think going into that game, the Ravens – you wonder if J.K. Dobbins never got hurt. what they would have looked like? Because I was honestly confused. Or I was concerned, and concerned is not the right word because I didn't really care if the Ravens win or not. But, like, if I was a Ravens fan, I would have been concerned with the fact that, like, that Gus Edwards is your starting running back. And you still look at it, like, I give Todd Monken credit his first year in Baltimore because their strength was spreading the wealth around. I mean, that was their strength. And they don't have any great receivers, but they have a lot of good ones. And I think Zay Flowers is going to get better. But that was their strength. And you know, Mark Andrews got hurt. They were still able to keep it moving with Isaiah Likely, who's a very good tight end. But they still relied on Lamar a lot to run the ball. And I thought that game should have been full-on Lamar Jackson. Let him be Lamar Jackson. Let him run at will. And maybe the Chiefs were trying to take that away. But I would have let this just be a Lamar Jackson game, just like I think the Niners should just let this be a Christian McCaffrey game, because you don't you might not ever get him to this point again. Very quick back to the honors before we do talk about the Super Bowl. Yes, I agree with that. The week, I think, is the best way to say it with TJ because, I mean, dude, you make the Pro Bowl every year. And I honestly, Brian, didn't think he deserved a Pro Bowl nod in 22 because he missed most of the year. So when he made it, even though he was hurt, I actually disagreed with that. That was kind of a career gesture Pro Bowl nod, in my opinion. And Highsmith didn't make the Pro Bowl that year when he should have made it. And Highsmith rushes off the quarterback's, you know, blind side, but he's facing left tackle, so that's the prominent tackle spot, right? So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, TJ rushes from the side where the quarterback can see him. So, you know, he's in his face, and he's going against right tackles who aren't quite as good. So, but yeah, I actually thought that was kind of not a classy move on his end. And he's kind of been that way this year. I mean, complaining about the officials. You know, when you're a great player, you know, sometimes – you know, you may get calls, you may not get calls, but you kind of have to deal with it. And so I agree. But, yeah, Cameron Hayward winning was awesome, the man of the year. I know you're a Buckeye. He's the last of the Jim Tressel Buckeyes still in the league, which I remind him of whenever I see him. And he – I don't know if he likes that anymore or not, because that means he's getting old. But you couldn't think of a better person to win it, and I'm very happy for him. And I know you, Brian, as a former – or as a Buckeye alum and a guy that covered Hayward at Ohio State, I'm sure you're happy to see that too.
Yeah, I have an immense amount of respect for the person. I thought it was great the way he honored his father, Craig Ironhead Hayward, late Craig Ironhead Hayward. Yeah, absolutely thrilled for that. Yes, as a Browns fan, it's been tough dealing with how great he is, you know, year in and year out, and to still be this good. It's remarkable. So, but yeah, all in all, a well deserved award. And I couldn't respect anybody more than I respect Cam Hayward.
Yeah, I think it's really cool what he does, especially Craig's closet, where he helps guys, you know, high school aged men get some suits and gets them ready for interviews and things like that. Because I guess his dad only had one suit when he was doing his college visits and that, and so that kind of always stuck with him. So he does so much in Pittsburgh for the community there, and hats off to him. So, well, we're going to move on ahead to the Super Bowl. I know Steeler fans listening were wishing the black and gold were playing, but they are not. It's been 15 years since they've won one. It's been, what, 13 years since they've been in one. So it's been a minute. But we've got the Niners. We've got the Chiefs, rematch of 4 years ago. And, Brian, I don't know about you, what you think. We haven't talked off mic about this. I personally think the Niners are going to win. My biggest takeaway from championship weekend was that, to me, the AFC championship game just, to me, looked like a normal game that you would see in week 11 between AFC North teams. That's what it looked like to me. And it seemed like the Chiefs just kind of beat a flawed Ravens team. And, I mean, again, I saw them play the Steelers twice. I saw them play in person against Cincinnati in week two. Baltimore, to me, seemed like a solid, good team, but not a normal number one seed. And I just thought they roughly stayed healthy. Again, I know they lost Dobbins and Andrews, but to me, my biggest takeaway was if the Niners play up to their potential, which they haven't in the playoffs so far, they will smack the Chiefs. Even though they have Mahomes, which is always in championship games, you have the better quarterback that's going to give you an edge. I just think the Niners are a vastly superior team. But they're only favored by 1.5. I think it went down just a little bit. And I think a lot of people still think the Chiefs are going to win because of Mahomes. I'm very curious to see what you think.
Yeah, well, on the betting part of it, it's because the public is hammering the Kansas City Chiefs for exactly that reason. I get it. The public loves Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is not – the sharp bettors don't like Patrick Mahomes typically, you know, and interestingly enough, and he's burned them before. It has definitely happened. Happened big time in the Super Bowl against the Bucks. But as far as this game, I agree completely. And I'll just say I'm a stubborn person. I am too stubborn to give up on the idea in the same way that, you know, I truly believe if you had a rematch in the AFC Championship game and a logical game plan by the Ravens, I convinced play that game 10 times and Ravens win at 7. So here's another
right.
situation where you have, I agree, a vastly superior team, all in all, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, the greatest tight end of all time, in my opinion. And I just, yeah.
Head
Ozzie I'm
Newsome.
Not pick
Head
against,
Ozzie Newsome. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick against the San Francisco 49. I'm too stubborn. I can't let myself pick the team that I truly believe is inferior. And I think you brought up a big part of that. That's Christian McCaffrey. I guess maybe along with Lamar Jackson, when you talk about overall weapons offensively, two guys that I think stand out the most in terms of what they can do. Obviously, Mahomes throwing the football is at another level. But, the receivers continue to get worse, and we thought the receivers were bad last year, and they got worse, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's going to end up ultimately being an issue. I think that the Niners are going to be able to create turnovers. The one thing I will say, and this was something Myles Garrett talked about, because the Browns did beat the 49ers this year, and they did it with interior pressure, and they did it with deflections. That was a big part of it. That helped out. So watch interior pressure. Chris Jones, one of the best in the business, future Hall of Famer, the difference he can make rushing the passer on the interior and his ability to get his hands on the football, that's probably the biggest thing, even more than Mahomes, quite honestly. The biggest thing that gives me a little bit of pause about my prediction that the 49ers get this one done.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, I mean, see, that's the thing. The Browns beat the Niners. The Steelers were absolutely demolished. So, I think, and that was in week one. I remember my dad even telling me, I was pretty optimistic the Steelers would do well in that game. My dad kept saying, that's probably the worst opponent the Steelers can play in week one. And it played out that way. But as you said, and then that's good insight, Brian. I mean, the pressure and the batted passes rattled the Niners in that game. I know they came back in that game, I believe, but they still lost to the Browns. And I believe in this game, I think pressure is going to be what the Chiefs try to do. And that defense, in fact, no, I believe he has more Super Bowl wins than any other defensive coordinator, I believe, with three, two of the Giants, and I think one with the Kansas City Chiefs. No, one with the Giants, two with the Chiefs is how that went out, because he wasn't there when they won their second one. And that's why, and Brian, we're about to do something we've never done before. Do you know what that is?
No, because we've never done it before.
We're going to talk gambling here. You and me have never done that before. So I'm going to give you, the listeners, I'm going to give you some locks, I think. And I want you to let me know. Now, I'm not saying do a parlay. I think do some straights. You know, don't win as much money, but
never do parlays.
You know, if you lose one, say what?
Don't be parlay guy. Parlay guy. Don't be the guy that is constantly doing parlays. That it's a low percentage move. Yeah, I hate parlay guy. Parlay guy drives me nuts. Parlay guy loves telling you about the fact that they had five legs and four hits, and the one didn't hit, and they're so frustrated about it. That's what happens in parlays. You don't win them.
It doesn't matter. Right. Yes. Yeah. And you're going to have more fun. You can lose one and say, okay, I got three more. I can win. Yes. So we're on the same – we're already on the same wavelength here. So I don't know what I would – I mean, I would pick the Niners, but straight up, I don't love that. I think there's other things you could do. Patrick Mahomes 1.5. I mean, the over to me anytime. It was like with Joe Burrow during the season. I mean, if he's healthy and it's 1.5, you take the over. And Kenny Pickett, you always take the under. So that's easy to me. I would take the over there. I think Christian McCaffrey's at 4.5 catches. I think that's over because I think when they pressure Purdy, he's going to be used more as a receiver. His touches have gone up. I think from 21 average in the regular season to 24. And I think he's going to be used as a receiver quite often in this game, so I take the over on that one. I think Purdy, the under on passing, I think it's either 264 or 246. It doesn't matter. I think you go under there, and you take both Kelce ones. I think his catches is like 6.5. I think his receiving yards is 70.5. So I've got one under, which is Purdy. His touchdown passes are 1.5. I wouldn't touch it. If you twisted my arm and made me pick one, I would say the under. I think McCaffrey's total yards, I think, is like 128.5. This is all according to Caesar Sportsbook. I wouldn't touch it. I just think total yards is just too odd. So those are some of my nuggets. I just thought that when I saw Mahomes at 1.5, I just thought that was like stealing. I mean, unless he gets hurt or something. Like, I think the only time that I saw Mahomes at 1.5 and he didn't hit it was the playoff game last year in the division round that they won, but he got hurt early. He had the high ankle sprain, and he didn't get it. He had an early touchdown in that game and then got hurt. So I don't know if there's anything I said there that you potentially disagree with.
No, I will just say overall, in general, when it comes to Super Bowl, my strategy is to go against, I would say, fun. Overs are fun, right?
Mm.
We all like overs. It's fun to take overs.
Yes.
And that's why I think the value a lot of times, and I'm not saying don't take, you know, that I'm going to take every under. I have some props I really like, and I can tell you about as well. But I just be careful to people about doing too many overs. Just understand that they're usually juiced a bit, and that's sort of human nature, and that when an over looks too good to be true, just like certain spreads look too good to be true, there's a reason for it. It happens. So in theory, I agree. I mean, how could Mahomes not throw two touchdowns? But it doesn't mean he's definitively going to do that.
But he did in Super Bowl 55, to your point. He didn't do it in 55.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He played pretty well against the Bucs. He really didn't play well against the 49ers at all, to be honest, in their Super Bowl victory. They obviously won the football game. It wasn't a great game for Mahomes overall there. So I do agree on the over for the game. I think there was going to be enough points. I think it was, 47.5, I believe. Is that the number?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I believe that's the number. I like that. I think that's going to be good. I'm hoping that it's that for the sake of my Super Bowl squares that I have.
Mm.
But anyway,
right.
I got a couple for you that I like. One is I enjoy anytime touchdown. I think first touchdown, there's something enthralling about first touchdown because the odds are so great that you tell yourself, all I got to do is I was $10, I can win 250.
How,
for people to bet more than that, obviously, which is not me, then, you know, you might say, oh, if I bet 50, I can win 1,000. Whatever the odds are, you have to be very careful. So I'm not a big fan of first touchdown. If you want to do some first touchdowns for fun, fine. But what I like is anytime touchdown. So I got a couple that I really like. I love George Kittle as an anytime touchdown. I love Deebo Samuel's anytime touchdown. Deebo's odds are not great. I don't like McCaffrey, I believe, and I don't know if what Caesar's was, but I saw on DraftKings was -210. So I'm not going to take Christian McCaffrey because it's just not – the value's not there. But who I will take?
Right.
You want a long odds one that you can have fun with that I think could definitely hit? Kyle Juszczyk. I love anytime TD.
Ooh,
Kyle Juszczyk.
Ooh, I like
the
that. I like
great.
That.
Yeah, throw a little bit on that if you want to
I
have
like
some
that.
Fun. So,
okay.
So I love that. And another one, and this is going to go against what I just said, my theory about overs. I do – overs versus unders. I do like Deebo Samuel over 16.5 rushing yards. This is the Super Bowl. People get really creative.
Yeah,
they're creative in general with Kyle Shanahan. I love that. I could see that going over in the first half. I could see him hitting that on one long play with the immense ability that he has. So those are a couple that stand out to me. And again, I'm not going to go with the Pachecos or – the McCaffreys. I'm not going to go with the guys that have the best odds. I just don't see as much value where if it hits, great, but it depends on how much you're betting, especially if you're like me and you're not betting very much. The value isn't there. So I'd much rather take a Deebo Samuel or a George Kittle, where there's a decent chance it still hits and you get value versus a Pacheco, and certainly would never take Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too. You got to decide if you want to try to go for a bigger odds where you win. Because, right, like I think everybody's going to guess Pacheco, you know, him or McCaffrey or Kelsey, you know, right? So, now I got to ask you this, and we're just got a few more minutes left, and we appreciate you guys listening, and you know, I think we both agree that we'd like to do more of these as the off season rolls on, maybe even do a Super Bowl post game show or afterwards discuss it and everything. So who do you want to win this game? I want the Niners to win, and how upset will you be if the Chiefs win? And I won't be upset per se, but I want the Niners to win, and I want them to win because I think Shanahan deserves it. You know, I think he's been a good coach for a long time. I think this team's been knocking on the door for a long time. I think it'd be really cool if they won. I'm a big fan of George Kittle, who actually, I do wonder if his injury, how much that's going to impact the Niners. Because, I just feel like with Tooney out, the Chiefs have a proven backup that has played well, and I think they'll be okay. But if Kittle is not Kittle, I don't know, right? So, and I love McCaffrey. He's probably my favorite player in the league. Maybe that one of he's very up there for me. So I want them to win. If the Chiefs win, I won't be necessarily upset, but it'll just kind of be ho-hum, you know, Mahomes is already, you know, if he wins this, I mean, he's in very elite company. He'll be the fifth quarterback to win at least three. Those are my closing thoughts, Brian. I'll let you have the floor with those questions. And if there's anything else you want to say here before we wrap up.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Pleasure talking with you, talking football. I agree completely with what you said. I'm not going to be upset either way. I guess I'll be a little disappointed if it's a bad game, the blowout in either direction, because I want to see a great football game. A rival's not in this game, so I don't have a team I need to lose. Ultimately, I would like to see the Niners win. My main reason is the Buckeyes, to be honest. It's Nick Bosa and Chase Young. As a Buckeye, I want to see Nick Bosa and Chase Young get Lombardi trophies, especially Nick Bosa, as one of the great defensive players in the league. I'm definitely not going to be disappointed, in the outcome if the Chiefs should win, and I'll be thoroughly impressed. If they can find a way to do this again, it could be a positive for the rest of the AFC and the rest of the league if the Chiefs win, if Andy Reid does retire. I'm not saying Andy Reid will retire, and I'm not saying he's definitively not going to retire if they lose. But it would be very nice to get Andy Reid the heck out of the NFL as someone that I respect immensely to help out a little bit and take away some of the pressure there of just how great that he is. The other thing I'll just say is to everybody out there, enjoy your food. I try to take very good care of myself. The Super Bowl's not for that. Don't let yourself blow an opportunity to eat like complete crap, to eat too much, desserts, to eat appetizers. Make sure it's a great meal. This is a top five eating day of the year. We don't have – the best eating day of the year is Thanksgiving. It's not for many, many, many months at this rate. So everybody enjoy your feasts. And, that's what I have to say. Browns Super Bowl champions 2024 season.
I don't know how many people agree with that last sentiment, but we'll see. They have a decent shot. You saw what they did with such an injury, depleted season. I think we all agree that we'd like to see Nick Chubb healthy and back. Mr. Chubb, as Mike Tomlin calls him. So for Brian, this is Brian signing off. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the game. Hopefully your hits hit that we recommended and you listen to us, and we'll be back for another show sometime soon. Once again, enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep.